morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell, and then the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. You can also check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. So like us. Let me wrap up the box office real quick here, and then we'll jump into video game movies, whether there have been good ones or bad ones. 312-981-7200, talk and text on that. Number one movie in the country is the Angry Birds movie. $39 million it made over the weekend. Esmeralda, did you ever play Angry Birds?
I did.
Yeah.
Of course, like everyone.
Yeah, I never did because I had, I didn't have a phone that was capable of having an app until this year. So, didn't have a phone that could actually handle Angry Birds app until September of just this past year. But I had friends who played it, you know, and people seemed to be kind of obsessed with it. Vic, did you ever play Angry Birds?
I did enjoy Angry Birds, but I'm a little ahead of you, but still behind everyone else. I didn't download the app until about a year after it came out.
Wow.
I thought it was great, though.
I just remember, being in the bar that I used to hang out at when I was a drinking man, and there would be like 7-8 people at the bar just playing it. They'd be just drinking and playing Angry Birds. Now, Dan, did you ever play the Angry Birds?
Yeah, I had the obsession for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then once like I passed through the first level, I think there's like 13 stories within the first level or whatever, and I got through those, and then I was like, okay, I better stop.
What is it about this particular game that became so obsessive for people? I mean, because I saw it everywhere. I mean, I never did. What was it about it for you guys, Esmeralda? What was it about?
Those stupid pigs.
So there was just the stupid
pigs.
They
would laugh at you if you didn't knock them all down.
So the pigs would laugh if you didn't fly into one of their buildings and knock them all down.
Right. And I would get so mad. I'm like, that stupid pig laughing at me.
Dan, did you get mad when the pigs laughed?
Those bastards.
Now, I have to tell, Esmeralda, you have to tell everybody about this game that you are currently playing that you are playing all the time. Every time is it a game? What is it exactly?
So it is a game. You don't really, you can't really play it all the time. So it's called Neko Atsume. It's about a bunch of cats. So you have this space. And all just these cats show up, and the goal is you put things out for them, toys, like pillows and things that they sit on, their food. There's like varying food. There's like really fancy food or really cheap food. Uh-huh. And just depending on what you put out and type of food and stuff, they show up, all these different cats show up and hang out.
Do you check back in and then go, oh, there's a cat in the room?
Yeah, like right now I'm looking at it, and there's a few cats just kind of hanging around. Sitting on things.
And that's it?
And
so you just like take, do you have to take care of them and feed
you
them?
You feed them, but you never see them eating. So that's the thing. So you look at it for a little bit, change out some toys or something, and then you just go about your business.
And then go back and see what the cats are doing.
Right. And then maybe like an hour later you can go back and there was more cats. And then they give you gifts of fish.
The cats do.
Yes. And that's how you pay for stuff, was with the fish. Yeah. It's like collecting. It's kind of like that Pokemon thing where you're collecting cats and you take pictures of them.
Now, is it just because I think you were showing me that there's more than one room, right? You can go to different.
Yeah, there's all these different rooms that you can buy, like to redecorate.
You buy it with fish?
Yes.
So you buy a room with fish?
Yes. It's insane.
Okay.
It's insane.
How did you get turned on to it?
Some friends of mine were playing it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I guess I'll look at it. And then I looked at it and I was hooked.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, it's got cats in it. So there's an immediate.
There's just all these adorable little cats and their butts.
And now, but it is animated, though. It's not like real cats.
Yeah, they're all little cartoon cats.
Yeah, little cartoon cats.
Right. And then there's these special ones that show up, like Guy Fury.
Oh. Now, does he look like the idiot on the
No, he's
Food
just
Network?
A little cat, and he is, I guess, standing in a way that Guy Fieri stands.
Like an idiot? Like a douchebag?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he has a little chef hat. There's Joe DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And who else?
Didn't you say there was
There's a Chairman Meow.
Now, I don't know, for people who don't know this or not, the lovely Amy Guth, her cat.
She had a cat, yeah.
She had a cat named Chairman Meow.
Yes.
I think just passed away last year.
Yes, I believe
so.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a bunch of, it's essentially you collect them just to look at them.
Okay.
Because you don't even see them doing anything.
You
can't even virtually pet them.
If they made a movie out of Angry Birds, do you think they'll make a movie out of this?
I don't think so, because it's just cats being cats.
They'll find a way.
Like, I mean, I know there's that one movie that's coming out, The Life of Animals or something like that.
That's the secret life of pets.
Right. So, I mean, I think they got it covered with that.
Yeah. That actually looks really funny.
Right. Well, they all have personalities.
It looks really. I like have you seen the trailer for it?
I've seen it.
How about that? The fat cat who eats like an entire turkey? Did you?
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, you got to see it. It's like this 400-pound cat that devours an entire turkey.
Which there is a big fat cat in this game.
Of course,
Tubbs.
There is. Tubbs.
Yeah. Usually you see him and he's sitting next to the food thing and he just has crumbs on his belly.
Oh, and that's it. He's just like by the food. Does he have a partner named Crockett?
He should. Oh, my gosh. They should do that.
They should.
Adorable.
You got Tubbs in there. You need a Crockett.
Oh, my gosh. And he wears a little jacket.
And he can wear like a sports jacket and no socks. They can put shoes on him, but no socks.
That would be too cute.
Well, the Angry Birds movie made $39 million over the weekend. I did not get a chance to see it. Jim said it was not good. Number two, Captain America Civil War with $33.1 million, bringing its total up to an extraordinary $347 million since its release. And worldwide, it's at $1 billion. It's at $1 billion. and Dan, you loved it, right?
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Great.
Number three, Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, seriously, one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Almost $22 million. Number four, The Nice Guys. You a fan of Esmeralda? You got to be a fan of Ryan Gosling, right?
No, he's great.
Yeah.
You seen that thing where they they're doing like a therapy session, and it's Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. And Ryan Gosling comes in, and Russell Crowe's just sitting amongst all this, like, paraphernalia that's with Ryan Gosling's face, with, like, the hey girl.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of thing. And I don't know. It's just weird, but Ryan Gosling keeps screaming a lot.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not my fault, but, like, this high-pitched scream.
Oh, I have to see this.
It's I don't know why I'm so, like, it cracks me up every time.
Well, I mean, you got to see. You haven't seen the movie, have you?
I haven't.
No, you got to see it.
I want to.
It's great. And they are phenomenal together, and you know, I saw them. They did talk shows together and separately promoting the movie over the past few weeks. And when they were on shows together, it was hysterical. They're really, really funny together. So yeah, I liked it. It only made $11.2 million, but I think it's very, very funny. And any movie where Ryan Gosling does like a Lou Costello impression, I'm like, okay, all right, I'll buy that. Here's a guy. Ryan Gosling is doing a tribute to Abbott and Costello in this 2016 violent crime noir comedy. And he's channeling Lou Costello. I was just like, this guy's a genius. Number five, The Jungle Book, $11 million. Another movie. You know, anything basically with Disney on it is making money. That's essentially all. I mean, whatever Disney's releasing this year is insane because, like, they've got the damn Alice in Wonderland movie coming out on Friday, and that thing is going to make a trillion dollars. And then they follow that up with the sequel to Finding Nemo. And in November they've got a little Star Wars movie coming out. Like, what are we? Dan, did you get your Disney stock?
Unfortunately, I did not.
I think we should just get the stock right now. I'm sure we wouldn't make. We should have gotten it when they were releasing No Deposit, No Return in the 70s. That would have been the time to get the Disney stock. Boy, you guys did not grow up in that era, man. You know, people my age, 50, 51 in their 50s, the 70s, there's nothing more horrifying than the term in the 70s, live-action Disney movies. Nothing more horrifying. They were so bad. And they all played at the Will Rogers Theater on the northwest side of Chicago. Belmont and Central, Will Rogers Theater. Every week there'd be, every couple of weeks there'd be a new terrible 70s live action Disney movie. Like Phil Silvers was in a lot of them. And
do you mean like Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Yeah, but not even that good.
What's the one with the fish?
With the fish.
He's a little fish. The guy from...
You mean Mr. Limpet.
There you go.
That's not a Disney movie.
Oh, no? Okay.
No, that was just a great Don Knotts movie. I grew up watching that movie. I love that movie. Yeah, I love that. And The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. Don Knotts. Oh, man. Great movie. Great movie. Yeah, The Incredible Mr. Limpet. I love that movie. Oh, my God. It was one of my favorite movies when I was a little kid. But no, these movies were terrible. There was like Gus, which was the field goal kicking donkey. That was one of them. No Deposit, No Return. I don't even know. There were like, and they all had the same people in them too. Like I mentioned, Phil Silvers is in like six of them. I'm trying to remember who else. Dean Jones was in a lot of them. That Kurt Russell started out in those when he was a kid. When he was a kid, he was like the strongest man in the world where he like drank some concoction and was able to lift cars over his head and stuff. It was that kind of crap. Those they started in the 60s. The live action Disney movie started in the 60s with those, you know, those Kurt Russell live action wacky comedies. And then they went through the 70s. And I don't remember. I'm gonna have to look them up. Maybe we can look them up. Dan, if you can like maybe look up live action Disney movies of the 70s. I don't know if that's too specific a search, but it was a thing, man. It was a thing. Gus. You don't remember Gus, the field goal kicking mule? You don't remember? That was a box office smash.
You should do a whole festival.
Of just the live action Disney movies?
Well, that, and then you can throw in the dog movies.
Like what? Like Air Bud?
Yeah, there you go. There's a few of those.
Yeah, there were like four Air Buds. What was the one with what's his face from Friends was in with the chimp that could play baseball?
Ed.
That's right. That was his big, remember? That was like, okay, Matt LeBlanc's going to be a big star. He's starting to make movies now. And then he makes Ed about a baseball playing chimp.
Whoa, Air Bud has done volleyball.
Air Bud's all over the place.
Baseball, basketball.
Yeah. He's no longer just Air Bud.
Oh, and he's Air Buddies?
He's Sports Bud because he does all sports.
Soccer, World Pup.
World Pup is what it's called.
An Air Bud Golden Receiver.
Yeah. All right. We have to break here for weather and traffic, and we'll come back. I'll finish up the box office, and we're going to start talking about video game movies, movies that were based on video games. And now they're making movies about apps. And perhaps they'll make a movie starring Chubbs or Tubbs and Crockett. Yeah. Hi. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hi. I'm your overnight guy here till 5 a.m. My dad will be calling in about an hour because it's a jokey time. I'm finishing up the box office here, and then we're going to jump into movies about video games or based on video games because we got to get into that because Angry Birds, the movie, was your big box office winner. And Dan, you did find a list of some of the fantastic live-action Disney movies from the 70s.
They sound intriguing.
Oh, my God. So bad. You know, they didn't make a lot of animated movies at that time, Disney. They were doing, you know, really crummy live action movies about field goal kicking donkeys. That's the kind of crap they were doing. Oh, man. Anyway, real quick, let me finish off the box office here. Number six, Money Monster, $7 million, bringing its 2-week total to $27 million. Number seven, The Darkness, $2.3 million. Number eight, it just won't leave the top 10. It won't leave the top 10. Zootopia, another Disney movie. It's unstoppable. This thing is a force of nature, Zootopia. Number nine, The Huntsman, Winter's War, which is made $1.1 million, bringing its total up to $46 million. And then number 10 is Mother's Day, bringing its total up to $31 million. But the big winner was the Angry Birds movie with $39 million over the weekend. Now, I told you about this before, Esmeralda, when we were talking about it, that they're going to make a movie out of Tetris.
Right.
Now, I don't know how, you know?
I couldn't tell you either.
I mean, because Tetris doesn't have, like, a story. Because Angry Birds, at least there were characters and there was somewhat of a story, and the pigs laughed at you. This is just a bunch of bricks falling.
Yeah. And I don't even think I've ever seen a Tetris game where there is some sort of storyline. It's always just, that's it. They're just blocks.
Yeah, you got to move things around so they fit. And it always came, it was free with your Game Boy. Like, if you got the Game Boy, Tetris was free. Since being created in a Soviet computer lab by Alexei Pajnetov in 1984, the block puzzle game Tetris has sold over 170 million copies across multiple platforms and cost fans countless hours of playtime. But Threshold Global Studios is hoping that you can spare some more time for Tetris the movie. According to Deadline, the team behind the Chinese-American partnership is taking the final steps to secure the $80 million in funding to realize a live-action film adaptation of the game, which requires users to flip and maneuver puzzle pieces so that they make and then erase one continuous line. While addictive, there appears to be no story to speak of. That doesn't seem to faze producer Larry Kazanoff, who helped usher the 1990s fighting game Mortal Kombat to the theaters. And it's not what you think, he told Deadline of the sci-fi trilogy. It will be a cool surprise. The big version, a big screen version of Tetris joins the recently announced adaptation of Atari favorites Missile Command and Centipede as projects looking to capitalize on video game nostalgia. The former's distinctive pieces also made a cameo in 2015's Adam Sandler film Pixels. Well, we all remember how good that was. So, Centipede and Missile Command are also on the docket. And there was no storyline for... And I mean, I guess you could make something out of Missile Command. But Centipede is just... It's a centipede. So, all right. I don't know. What do you guys think of this? 312-981-7200. And I have a list of best video games and worst video game movies of all time. Tetris, a puzzle that they seem to think they're going to be able to make a movie out of. All right. Here are some of the Disney live action movies. Okay. These. I'm not kidding. And I probably saw all of these. Let's see. The Boatniks. Yes, I've seen The Boatniks. The Barefoot Executive, that's a Kurt Russell, a chimpanzee movie. How about this one? The Million Dollar Duck. There was Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Now You See Him, Now You Don't, another Kurt Russell movie where he drinks a formula that makes him invisible. There was a lot of formula drinking with Kurt Russell. A lot of science experiments. The Snowball Express, The World's Greatest Athlete, again, another Kurt Russell. Charlie and the Angel, One Little Indian, Herbie Rides Again, which was a sequel to The Love Bug, The Castaway Cowboy, The Island at the Top of the World, The Strongest Man in the World, again, Kurt Russell drinks formula and can lift cars up over his head, Escape to Witch Mountain, that was a big one. Escape to Witch Mountain was a big one. That had Kim Richards in it. Kim Richards, who is now on I'm Crazy, I'm a Wife, and in Beverly Hills, because I'm crazy. The Apple Dumpling Gang. If I remember correctly, that was another Don Knotts Disney movie. It was like Don Knotts and maybe Bill Bixby. How about One of Our Dinosaurs is Missing? These are real. I'm not making this up, man. Then, of course, No Deposit, No Return, which was one of the most popular of all of them. My friend Scott Oaken, who likes to bust chairs at Bryan Adams shows, remembers vividly going to see it at the Will Rogers, and there were lines around the block and people sitting in the aisles. He still maintains it's more popular than Gone with the Wind. No Deposit, No Return. Gus, the aforementioned Gus. Oh, here's a good one. The Shaggy D.A. You guys remember the Shaggy D.A.? That was where Dean Jones turns into a dog, but he's a D.A. It was a sequel to The Shaggy Dog.
Wait, was he still practicing?
Yeah. He was a shaggy D.A.
Was he talking?
Yeah, he was talking, and he was like a dog.
But could people hear him talk?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Oh.
He was the shaggy D.A. Freaky Friday. You got to remember Freaky Friday. Jodie Foster, Barbara Harris, they switch personalities, and then they remade that with the Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis, which, by the way, is a terrific movie. The Littlest Horse Thieves, Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo. Pete's Dragon, by the way, being remade and released later this year with Robert Redford. Nice look, Dan.
What is Robert Redford doing in that?
I don't know. Candle Shoe was another one. Return from Witch Mountain. See, they went back. Kim Richards was in that. Oh, yeah, The Cat from Outer Space was another one. Hot Lead and Cold Feet. That was another Don Knotts. That was a Western, wacky Western.
Thought he was getting married, and a gunfight broke out.
Yeah. It's a shotgun wedding.
North Avenue. That was very good, see? The North Avenue Irregulars.
Is that about just irregular T-shirts?
I remember it. Yeah, I remember seeing
colon
it.
From that commercial?
The Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again. The Unidentified Flying Oddball. And then, of course, The Black Hole. Now, The Black Hole, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. I remember that one. It wasn't good, but it was a big deal. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with video game movies and more on 720 WGN. News is up next. Morning, everybody. Hi. Monday morning. Yeah. That means my dad will tell a joke because it's a jokey time. Coming up a little bit later on. Welcome. I'm here till 5 o'clock every morning. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, followed by the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We'll be talking about video game movies because they made a movie out of an app. It was the number one movie at the box office this weekend, Angry Birds. So we're talking about some of the video game movies. Before we got to that, we were talking about some of the live-action Disney movies of the 70s. That I had the pleasure of growing up with. There was like Super Dad, another Kurt Russell movie, but Bob Crane from Hogan's Heroes was the Super Dad in that one. Let's see. The Apple Dumpling Gang is Bill Bixby, Don Knotts, and Tim Conway. Wacky. One of Our Dinosaurs is Missing, of course. No Deposit, No Return. Was with David Niven, oddly enough. Keenan Wynn was in it. Yeah, some classic stuff. The Unidentified Flying Oddball, that was with Dennis Dugan, who is now Adam Sandler's director. He started out as a stand-up comedian, he was an actor, and now he directs all the Adam Sandler crap. Now, The Black Hole was the big one, because The Black Hole, you know, they made a big deal out of it. It was a big sci-fi. They spent a lot of money on it. And it was the first, if I remember correctly, it was the first PG-rated movie that that Disney released. Because all of those movies were rated G. All of them were rated G. And I remember this being a big deal because it was PG. The Black Hole. And the fantastic cast of The Black Hole, Maximilian Schell, Anthony Perkins, Robert Forrester, Joseph Bottoms, Ernest Borgnine. See, these were the movies of my youth, Esmeralda. Why do you think I was only going to see horror movies? Because, like, the family stuff that was out in theaters, I'm like, I'm not going to see that crap.
Yeah, I could see why you would only go see horror movies.
Are you kidding me?
So, wait, what is Black Hole about?
It's a spaceship gets caught in a black hole. It's a science fiction thing. And everybody made a big deal out of it for two reasons. One, the special effects were at that point, I guess they were groundbreaking. It came out after, you know, it came out in between Star Wars and Empire. So everybody was like really into that. You know, there were a bunch of Star Wars ripoffs that came out. Battle Beyond the Stars was one of them, was actually one of the best ones, actually. So everything was like sci-fi. And so it was like, this was Disney's big attempt to do their, like, Star Wars. And it was a big deal that it was rated PG. I remember that being a really big deal because Disney did not release anything that wasn't rated G. You know, this was before they had their offshoots with Touchstone Pictures, and you know, now, you know, Disney, there's a big umbrella and Disney owns like 12 different studios and they've released R-rated movies and all that kind of stuff, but This was a big deal that because it was under the Disney banner and it was rated PG. So, anyway. Yeah, man. The live-action Disney movies, man. Son of Flubber. You know, they remade Flubber with Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. No Son of Flubber.
No Son of Flubber. They just did Flubber. Blackbeard's Ghost was another one. The Horse in the Gray Flannel Suit. See, these are the kind of quality movies that Disney was putting out in the 60s and 70s. The Love Bug, which actually is one of the first movies that I ever saw. Jungle Book, I believe, is the first movie that I remember seeing in the theater, but like right on top of that was The Love Bug. You got Savage Sam, The Ugly Dachshund, That Darn Cat. I remember That Darn Cat. That was Dean Jones. They were trying to solve a mystery, and they used a cat. Monkeys Go Home. How about this one? The Happiest Millionaire. These are classics. There was, of course, In Search of the Castaways. And The Parent Trap, which was also remade with the Lohan. So, let's see. We got some texts here. Nick, did you see The World's Greatest Athlete? I love that movie from the 6-3-0 area code. Yes, that, again, is Kurt Russell drinking stuff that turns him into a fantastic athlete. I mean, they just did a series of movies. You know, that's how Kurt Russell started. Kurt Russell was a kid actor and did, like, a bunch of movies with Disney. He was under contract with Disney, I don't know, man, for like 20 years or something. And so if you go back and look at some of the early stuff that Kurt Russell did, it's just a ton of terrible live-action Disney movies. 815 area code says Herbie the Love Bug. Yep. 262 area code says The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes. Another Kurt Russell. See, he drinks something that makes him smart. And he's a kid, and he wears tennis shoes, but he's so smart, he becomes like a computer. So that's why they call him The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes. Those movies suck. I can't believe they're remaking Pete's Dragon. Now, that wasn't all live action, because the dragon was animated. The dragon was animated, and like animated, like, you know, 2D animation. Like they did in Roger Rabbit. So he had this animated dragon. Pete did. This kid Pete, he had an animated dragon. But in the new movie that they're remaking that comes out, I think it comes out in August, I saw the trailer for it. It's not an animated dragon. It's like a CG dragon. And it's much, the trailer for it, I was like, well, I was watching the trailer for it. I'm like, it was like really dark and weird. And then there's Robert Redford going, what's going on with that dragon? I'm like, what? What is this?
The live-action Disney historians are letting us know it was Jan Michael Vincent in World's Greatest Athlete, not Kurt Russell.
Oh, it was Jan Michael Vincent?
Yes.
Apparently. Okay. All right. Now, did he drink a formula? I think then Jan Michael Vincent drank some sort of formula that made him a great athlete.
And I apologize. I've been running. Did we mention Kurt Russell in The Barefoot Executive?
Yes. Barefoot Executive was that one involved a chimp. He became an executive.
And did we mention The Horse in the Gray Flannel Suit?
Yeah, we did mention The Horse in the Gray Flannel Suit. What are all my Disney live action fans are coming out of the woodwork now?
No, just you know, you search for one thing on.
Oh yeah, and then they all pop up.
That must have been itchy, gray flannel suit
on a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Not good. Not good. Oh, man. Oh, I have to mention this because I just looked up. There's a Victory Auto Records commercial on right now. I forgot I have to mention this. This is ridiculous. I get here this morning to work, and I always check, you know, my mailbox to see what's up. And in the mailbox was this package that I did not order or anything. And I open it up, and it's a T-shirt from the Victory Auto Records. And on the front of the T-shirt, it says, that old car is worth money. And it's the dude, it's a cartoon of the dude with the mustache and the thick wristband. And his car door has just fallen off. So it's a picture of that, cartoon picture of that iconic moment. And on the back, it says, call Victory Auto Records for a quote with the phone number and the website. And I'm like, wow, I wonder who sent me that. And I look. And on Victory Auto Records stationery, but dated May 17th, firstly, I would like to thank you for making our commercial a topic of discussion on your show the other day. It was very amusing. It sounds like you junked your Escort quite some time ago because it has almost been a decade since we have paid with a check. Because I was talking about how I junked my fantastic Ford Escort, and I got a check. But Dan, when he did the same thing with Victory Auto, he got cash, and somebody else said they got cash, right? So it says it sounds like you almost a decade because we haven't paid with cash in almost a decade. Yeah, this was in the mid '90s when I want to say '96 or '97 when I got rid of that car. We didn't have the survey at the time, but after hearing the program, you definitely qualify. I'm sending a shirt, and since you're not a fan of the dinosaur, now I feel bad. And by the way, the dinosaur's name, do you know the dinosaur has a name? The dinosaur on the commercial?
Who's that?
T, okay, the letter T, period. Rex, W-R-E-C-K-S, Rex, as in the car wreck.
Bravo.
T-Rex.
Very good.
And he says, I hope this is more to your liking. And it's signed respectfully, the president of Victory Auto Records, Kyle Wisner. So thank you for listening, Kyle. And I really appreciate the T-shirt. I'm going to wear it all the time. But that's pretty funny. The president of Victory Auto Records, I'm holding it right here, sent me a T-shirt. So I want to thank Kyle and everybody at the at Victory Auto Records. That was very nice. Nice little treat to come home to come to work to. So anyway, that was funny. I had to mention it because I looked up and T-Rex had the car in his mouth. So all right, video game movies. Now, Esmeralda, can you think of any?
Oh yeah.
Now, what are do you like any of them?
I love Street Fighter.
The movie?
Yes. And the video game
with Van Damme?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. We have to talk about this after we break. Hold on a second. Video game movies because Angry Birds made $9 billion over the weekend. All right. Oh, yeah, man. Hey, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will be calling in a little bit to tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we're talking about video game movies because a movie based on an app just made almost $40 million over the weekend. There have been a lot of video game movies, many of them terrible. But for some reason, Esmeralda, before we take a break, you actually like Street Fighter with
Street Fighter.
Van Damme.
Yes, and Raul Julia.
I know. I'd prefer... That's Raul Julia's
and
last.
Kylie Minogue.
That's his. Kylie Minogue was in it?
Yeah, she's Cammy.
I don't even remember. I saw it once. I hated it. It's Raul Julia's last movie, unfortunately. All right. Now, why? Why?
I don't know. I like those. One, I really love the video game. I grew up playing that.
You grew up playing nonstop. Street Fighter, the video game?
Yeah, Street Fighter 2 specifically.
Okay.
So it's always fun to see like how they're going to do the characters and everything. And this one's, I mean, it's pretty B-movie-like.
Yeah.
And all the characters are kind of true to the video game itself. And I also like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, I love Van Damme when he's doing, you know, some Van Damage.
Right.
But that one did not, you know, for me, Van Damme, it's Double Impact, Bloodsport. Those are Van Damme movies. Lionheart. Those are true Van Damage. Especially, I mean, Double Impact, where he kicks his own ass. That's fantastic. Have you seen Double Impact, Esmeralda?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you got to see Double Impact.
I need to do like a little festival.
Oh, it's twin Van Dammes.
Right.
It's fantastic. Lionheart, classic. Classic. I mean, Bloodsport is one of the greatest movies ever made. And I like my favorite scene in Bloodsport. I'm assuming you've seen Bloodsport. Yeah, I know you have.
Probably.
You've seen Bloodsport.
I can't really tell them all apart.
Bloodsport.
What happens?
It's an underground fighting contest.
The Kumite?
Yeah, the Kumite.
Yeah, then yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. And Bloodsport, my favorite part of Bloodsport is like he's being chased by, Forrest Whitaker is in that movie. He plays like a cop in that movie. And he and his partner are trying to chase Van Damme, like, through the streets. And I just remember, I mean, we saw that movie. My friends and I saw Bloodsport, like, 100 times because it's just so ridiculous. But he, at one point, they're chasing him, like, through the streets of Hong Kong. or I don't even know. Maybe it's, I don't even know where it takes. Does it take place in Hong Kong, or is it? I know it's in the.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're chasing him around, and he's mocking them because they can't, you know, he runs across the street because he's, you know, athletic and he can jump on things. And then they're trying to, you know, like you got, you know, Forrest Whitaker trying to run across the street in the middle of Hong Kong chasing Van Damme. But here's what I remember. Van Damme would mock them. Like he'd stop and wait on the corner until they tried to cross the street and he's smiling. And he's wearing what looks like a Century 21 jacket. That's exact. I mean, so we were laughing. I was like, "What are you going to do? You're going to sell him some? Are you going to sell him some real estate?
Sell him a nice oceanfront apartment."
He's got a ridiculous yellow, what looks like a Century 21 jacket on during this foot chase. The movie's awesome, but so Street Fighter. All right.
Yeah, I like Street Fighter, and I also love Mortal Kombat.
The first Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
All right, I saw Mortal Kombat. I've never played none of these games. I've never played any of these games.
So I didn't really play the video game, but I love that movie too.
The only thing that I remember about Mortal Kombat was one of the characters goes, "Get down here!"
Right. I believe that's Scorpion.
Scorpion, okay.
Or the other one.
I don't know.
The one with the ice.
Ice.
Sub-Zero.
There you go.
Sub-Zero. Now, Dan, what about you? Did you play Mortal Kombat?
I did. So I was that was kind of my Street Fighter 2.
Oh, okay.
Esmeralda's Parallel.
Okay. Now, did you like the movie?
I did like the movie for that reason. Like, it's bad. I mean, what's his face? Highlander is just ridiculous.
Oh, God, that's the best.
Christopher Lambert. Yeah.
Remember at the end, and they all get in that position? At the end, they all pose?
Yeah, they all pose, yeah.
Right.
It's so good.
I saw it at the drive-in. Now, they made like two or three of those, didn't they, movie-wise?
They did. I heard they were terrible.
Well, the first one sucked.
Yeah, I mean, but compared to them, those were even worse.
Okay.
That's what I heard. I actually haven't seen
it. I don't know. The first video game movie that came to my mind, where I actually think is good, the only video game movie that I think is good is Silent Hill, which I don't know the game, but I thought the movie was cool.
Yeah, I did not see it.
I thought it was cool. It was very strange. Didn't make any sense. I didn't understand what the hell was going on half the time, but, I thought it was really well made and kind of creepy, and I thought it was cool.
Oh, the what's the ones with Mila Jovovich?
Resident Evil.
Yes, I played that game. That game scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, those movies suck.
The first one was frightening.
No. There's like 20 of them. They're making another one coming out.
Well, yeah, no, now that, you know. But the first one, I liked the first one.
No. Well, on this list of best, according to Ranker.com, these are the best video games. Number one is Resident Evil on the list. Number two, Mortal Kombat. Number three, Silent Hill. Look at that. Number four, Wreck-It Ralph. Wait a minute now. That's not a video game movie.
I mean,
it takes place in a video game,
yeah,
but it's not a real.
But I think because a lot of the characters in it are video games.
But no, they're not, like,
was there a
real
Pac-Man
video games.
And was there, because I don't
No,
remember.
That's Pixels. Pixels had all the.
But this one didn't have anything that was
real? Well, nothing that was real. No, I mean, there were characters and games and stuff that were similar to real video games, but they weren't real.
I think that's they're, you know.
Yeah. Now, have they made? Is there now a Wreck? I'm assuming there is. Is there a Wreck-It Ralph video game?
Oh, I'm sure.
You would imagine, right?
There has to be. There would have to be.
I really like that movie.
Well, wait, because they had Zangief, and he's from the Street Fighter, and they had. Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, and they have Sonic, and then Sonic's enemy man.
Sonic. Now, what is he called, Sonic?
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog.
No, I know. I mean, in Wreck-It Ralph, was he called Sonic, or did they have a character that looked like Sonic that was named something else?
No, I think it's really Sonic, because there's no change to this Sonic character.
Okay.
That I'm looking at.
I don't.
Q-Bert was in it.
Q-Bert was in. Was he Q-Bert?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I think they just intermingled
real characters with made up ones.
Right.
Yeah, much in the trailer, like the blue ghost from Pac-Man's in it.
And are all those from the same video game people? Maybe that's why they're all.
Uh-huh.
And they're related to Disney, maybe? So they weren't able to get all the video games?
I don't know.
It is a Disney movie.
It is Disney, yeah.
But so they have Street Fighter and Q-Bert. And Sonic, I wonder if they're all from the same people.
You mean the same company?
Right, and so they were able to get them in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to do some lookalikes.
Right.
for the rest of the stuff.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, I like Wreck-It Ralph. I guess that falls under the category. You know, it was one of my favorite vocal performances ever is in Wreck-It Ralph. Sarah Silverman. It's one of my favorite animated vocal performances of all time. She's adorable in Wreck-It Ralph. Okay, we got a break. Video game movies is what we're talking about. Angry Birds made $40 trillion at the box office. I just made that number up. And but we got the news coming up next. My dad will tell a joke. And then 312-981-7200. Good morning. Good morning. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5, Steve Grzanich will be in with the opening bell at 5 o'clock and Steve Cochran at 6 right here on WGN. My dad will be calling in a few minutes to tell a joke because it's a jokey time. Right now we're talking about video game movies and movies that were inspired by video games and video game movies because the Angry Birds movie, which is actually inspired by an app, the first movie to be inspired by an app, cleaned up at the box office over the weekend. So we thought we'd talk about this. 312 area code sends in a text that says, any conversation involving video games and video game movies must, all caps, must include Tron.
Was that a video game first?
No.
Okay.
It was a movie. It was almost at the same time. The movie came out first and the video game was right on the heels of it. And that's one of those deals where the video game was better than the movie. Tron, that movie sucks, even though Jeff Bridges is in it.
I fell asleep watching
it. Yeah, I don't blame you. Then they did the Tron Legacy movie.
Right.
Ugh.
Well.
It's terrible.
It had a Daft Punk in it.
But it had that weird, like, younger version of Jeff Bridges, where they, like, digitally made him, like, young again.
Yeah, and then they get into that whole, if you've ever heard the term, uncanny valley, where it's, like, certain characters. It's mainly in video games where a character just looks too, they try to make him as real as possible, human looking,
mm-hmm.
and it turns into this like weird,
you like a fate. Soulless,
yeah, like,
yeah,
they
I know
just
what you
look
mean.
Like creepy things.
Yeah, 312 area code. The Super Mario Brothers most awful video game movie. I have a question about the Mario Brothers.
Okay,
why are they known as the Mario Brothers when one of them is named Mario? Is his name Mario Mario?
I don't know, Luigi.
Yeah, Luigi,
Mario, and Luigi.
Yeah. What are they? Is their last name Mario? Is he Mario Mario and Luigi Mario?
Is it like when people get married? And then so you're now just Mrs. whatever?
So he's Mrs. Mario?
Maybe that's what it is, because Mario's the big kahuna in this situation.
Yeah, I'm Luigi.
So yeah, he's like, no, we're the Mario Brothers.
Okay.
Luigi, you're second.
You're John Leguizamo. I'm Bob Hoskins. That was a I took a date to see that movie.
Who was the bad guy?
Dennis Hopper.
Oh, that's right.
It was a terrible movie, man.
Yeah.
Tim from Plainfield said, The Last Starfighter, fictional game, but I believe they made it after the movie came out. It was crap in a bag. Now, Dan, do you know if he's referring to the video game that they made of The Last Starfighter, or is he referring to the movie? Because The Last Starfighter is a pretty great movie.
I would imagine he's referring to the video game.
I would hope so, because The Last Starfighter is pretty great. 224 area code says, Tomb Raider and Resident Evil, good movies and games. No.
I think I saw the first Tomb Raider. I don't remember being wowed,
no,
really.
No, they both suck. Well, here's the list that they have. I didn't know that Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, was based on a video game. The Jake Gyllenhaal adventure masterpiece.
Yeah, that's a, yeah.
I didn't know that was a...
I didn't know they made a movie.
Oh, they did. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hitman with Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, yeah, that is.
They made a second one, too. They just they released it last year, but Oliphant wasn't in it. Pokemon. I went to go see the first Pokemon movie. Never, and I within 20 minutes, I was like, I have no idea what
was
is happening.
Was it live action?
No, it was cartoon. It was animated.
Hmm.
I just was like, I don't know what's going on. I've never been more confused and almost frightened. I just kind of sat there like, what is this?
He's got to catch them all.
I don't even know. I sat through the whole thing, and I still have no idea what happened in that movie.
Okay.
Doom with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got the Warcraft movie coming out.
Yeah, I just saw that.
In June.
Didn't they make one before this?
I don't. It wasn't a feature.
Or maybe it wasn't Warcraft. Maybe it was one of those other nerd games. It is. That's some nerd games.
Yes, it is.
My ex used to play, and he wasn't as bad as some people that we knew, where they would not leave the game.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, hey, man, you've played enough today. Would you like to talk to me instead?
Right. Like, you've been sitting there for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And that's not an exaggeration.
No, it's not at all. That's pretty light play.
Warcraft, though. Dan, have you ever played the Warcraft?
I have never played the Warcraft.
Do you know, you remember I told you who directed it, right?
Yes, that's pretty crazy.
It's crazy. The guy who directed it, Bill Bowie's son, Duncan Jones.
This one that's coming out?
Yeah, directed Warcraft.
Okay.
Which gives me, I mean, I it's a stupid video game movie.
Is it a bunch of no-name?
No, there are names in it, but everything is animated. It's like, you know, everything is CGI because the characters are, like, they're like beasts and big giant creatures and stuff. So it's voiced by very famous people.
Oh, okay.
But all of it is like CGI. Almost all the characters in the movie are CGI.
Got it.
But Duncan Jones directed it. Duncan Jones directed Moon with Sam Rockwell, which is a great movie. And what the hell is the name of the movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, where they're on the train and he keeps
Source Code.
Tremendous movie.
Maybe he's just doing it for the money.
Well, of course he's doing it for the money, but it gives me hope, kind of, because this guy is like, I think Duncan Jones is one of the most interesting voices in science fiction right now. Like, those two movies, Source Code and Moon, are both great. So when I saw his name on the credits, I'm like, what? Duncan Jones is directing this Warcraft movie? And then, of course, that made me go, well, maybe I want to see it now.
Well, there you go.
All right, how about this one? See, you've got Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li from 2009.
See, that one I didn't see. And I love Chun-Li.
The original one had one redeeming factor, and that was Raul Julia as Bison. Bison?
Yeah, that's his name.
His name was Bison?
M. Bison. That was his last name, Bison.
Okay. Double Dragon.
That one I did not see.
Okay. Double Dragon is set in the not-too-distant future of 2007, where Los Angeles is now a flooded city with Technicolor gangs roaming the streets. And the main villain is Robert Patrick, the T-1000. Yet with all the goofy action scenes and an out-of-nowhere cameo by Andy Dick.
He just happened to be on the street.
Yeah, he was just wandering around. And they were like, what are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing.
Am I getting paid?
Yeah.
Can I have some money?
Andy Dick from your alma mater.
Yeah.
Quick follow-ups here. Tim from Plainfield did confirm that it was the game Last Starfighter that was crappy.
Oh, okay.
He enjoyed the movie. And because it's been bothering me ever since you said it. Apparently his name was Mario for a while.
Really? Wow.
And then they realized how ridiculous that was and now go with the explanation that it's the Super Mario Brothers because everybody knows Mario and he's the older brother and so everybody just...
See.
Okay. So it was a combination of what Esmeralda and I were saying.
I mean, they are. It is.
He was known as Mario for a while.
It comes from Japan. They don't know.
And apparently he was named Mario because when the guy who was creating Donkey Kong was finishing the game, he was living in an apartment and had paid rent in months, and his landlord was named Mario, and he kept demanding money, so he made the bad guy in Donkey Kong named Mario.
Oh, wow. All right. Is Mario the bad guy in Donkey Kong? I thought Donkey Kong was the bad guy. Whipping barrels at Mario.
Well, I guess if you think
about it. Because he takes the chick.
Well, you got to think about it. You can think about it both ways, I would say. Mario's just bothering Donkey Kong.
Yeah, but he has Mario's chick.
Hey, maybe she wants to be there. You ever think about that? Mario's just like, oh, no. I got to go get her. It's like, maybe she wants to be there.
She's yelling like he's carrying her up. Donkey Kong man is ape man is carrying. You can see she's distressed. What's her name? Does she have a name?
Princess Peach. Is it? Is it Princess Peach in the Donkey Kong?
I don't know if it's in Donkey Kong. Basically the same character was eventually named Princess Peach.
Yeah.
Because Mario wasn't Mario in Super Mario Brothers. It was just Jump Man, technically.
Oh, he was just Jump Man?
So, a rapper?
She's listed as Pauline in the credits.
Well,
here.
Sure, because it's the perils of Pauline. You always have to rescue the one of the maiden, the classic maiden in need of rescuing names is Pauline.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, how about Max Payne? Did you see Max Payne?
No, I didn't.
Terrible movie. While this film tries to be a bit more faithful to the source material, its key problem lies in the directing. Bad decisions in pacing make the main character unlikable for the majority of the film. It's not helped that Max is played by Marky Mark Wahlberg. But hey, as long as the John Woo-inspired action scenes are here, it would be all right. Nope, they screwed those up too. Yeah, that was a bad movie. That was just bad in every way, shape, and form. Max Payne.
Yeah, I never played the video game either.
I didn't either. The movie was just terrible, though. So it was so boring. So boring. Max Payne, I remember, if I remember correctly, Michael Phillips, the film critic here for the Chicago Tribune, mm-hmm. his like mini headline for his review of Max Payne was, Max Payne delivers Max Payne, P-A-I-N.
Right.
See?
Wordplay.
See?
Very clever.
I think that's why they named the character Max Payne, because he caused maximum pain to the bad guys.
Right.
I think that's why he was called Max Payne, even though it was spelled P-A-Y-N-E.
I heard his name was Mario.
It's Mario, Mario.
Was his name Payne Payne? Pain, pain. Okay, on this list of worst video game movies, number five is Super Mario Brothers, featuring Mario Mario and his brother Mario and his sister Mario.
Right. Maria.
How about this one, Blood Rain?
I didn't see that either.
Oh, man. I don't even know, you know... I don't know the video game.
Right, I never played it either.
Yui Boll directed this movie, and he is...
Oh, yeah, that guy.
The guy who only directs movies based on video games.
Oh, is it? Really?
Oh, yeah. No, oh. He has only directed movies based on video games.
I just thought he directed bad games.
No, he does. And they're all bad, and they're all based on video games. Like Postal was another one that he did.
Really?
Yep.
That's a video game? Huh.
Yep. And then this is number three on the list, House of the Dead.
Is that him too?
Yep.
Oh.
Uwe Boll. It says, yet another Uwe Boll masterpiece. The film has a group of annoying spring break teenagers heading to a rave hosted on a remote island, of all places, since it's overrun by zombies. The plot is an inconsistent. One minute the teens are running for their lives, and next they're pulling off Matrix moves and Kung Fu. And what does all this have to do with the game? Nobody knows. Terrible movie. Number two on this list of worst video game movies of all time, Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
I need to see that.
From 1997. While the first Mortal Kombat movie was enjoyable, its sequel dashed our hopes of ever seeing an amazing video game film. Recasting three of the five returning characters and killing one of them off, it's got horrendous CGI effects, costumes that wouldn't pass at a Comic-Con, and laughable dialogue. It says a lot that the only redeeming factor is the recycled theme song from the first film.
Dun, 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 dun. I love that song.
Isn't that what plays in the video as well?
Yeah.
In the game as well?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. Dan played it more.
Dan, did they have the dun, 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 dun?
I'm trying to pull it up now. I don't remember.
You don't remember?
All right. Number one on this list of the worst video game movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Alone in the Dark, another Uwe Boll. This was with Christian Slater and Tara Reid.
Oh, I never played that either.
I've never played it, but
the movie
was horrendous. The cream of the crap of Uwe Boll's abysmal resume, a film that's so bad the worst part comes before the camera even starts running. What constitutes horror in this film is turning the light switches on and off, and, of course, casting Tara Reid as a scientist.
Oh, no. Come on.
This is the very reason why we listed Uwe Boll as the number one worst director in Hollywood. There you go. And evidently, he's a crazy man, too.
Right.
Because did you hear this story, Dan? You've heard about this, right? Where he challenged his talent film critics to boxing matches?
Oh, I did hear that. I thought you were going to do the other one where people could vote on whether he should direct again.
I love the story about him. It's like... I hate directors, and you, if you don't like my movies, you can fight me. It was a real thing.
Did anybody take him up
yeah,
on it?
Yeah, he boxed a bunch of like film and beat the crap out of him.
Oh, see, that's not good.
Yeah.
If you're going to be like, yeah, I'll fight you and then get beat up, come on.
Yeah. You know why? Because he's got all those crazy moves that he learned from Mario.
Right.
Or I prefer him as Jumpman. I think.
Jumpman.
What were you going to say, Dan?
I was just going to say, or when he was listening to the Mortal Kombat theme, which we can now enjoy.
Uh-oh.
Everybody to get raved up this morning.
Get up, everybody. Here we go, man.
They give out all the names.
And the guy just screams every 3 minutes. He just screams Mortal Kombat, right?
Right.
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah. And then they give out the names, all the character names. And then they say, fight! And then
it's Mortal Kombat!
Yeah. Yep. You know, that doesn't pump you up. Nothing will.
And you know what? But, you know, if you played that, Dan, you played that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you stand that for, like, I mean, if you play that game for, like, 2 hours, do you constantly hear, dan, 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 dan?
No, they play, like, the low-level remix during the battles.
Right.
But it's on constantly, isn't it? When you're playing it?
I mean, just, you know.
Background.
Regular
noise.
Old, yeah.
Okay. All right. I would just, my head would probably explode if I had to hear that. If I really like playing the game and I play for a few hours, by a half an hour in, nan, 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 I'm going to lose my mind.
Right. That song is amazing.
Okay. Hey, the opening bell is up in about 4 minutes. Let's find out what's going to happen. And here is Steve. Hey, Steve.
It almost sounds like one of those songs from Jock Jams. Remember those CDs they used to sell?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
The commercial would come on and your head would just like, yep. Oh, my God, not pump yep. up the jam again.
Yep.
But that's what we're going to be playing all the next half hour,
oh, good.
By the way.
Good. Esmeralda's very excited.
I'll be listening.
Yeah.
Actually, the morning bell brought to you by Technotronic.
Pump up the gym. Pump it up. Yeah. Anyway, if there are any brides to be in the audience, you want to stay tuned to the opening bell because we're going to be talking about brides this morning. Our two CEOs of a startup in Chicago are trying to make bridal shopping less hectic and take away a few of those bridezillas, if you know what I'm talking about, if you've ever seen one of those. That's our lead today on the opening bell coming up in just a few minutes.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Have a great day.
All right. You too. All right. So you're all ready for the morning now.
Yeah. Esmeralda. I actually want to play some video games.
You got to hear Mortal Kombat now. Now you're pumped. You were dancing along with it.
I know, because I love that song. I remember watching that movie and just getting so pumped.
Yeah.
The end credits. I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
Did you go learn karate afterwards?
I wanted to so badly.
Wow. All right. Final Fantasy. Remember that movie? That was like a groundbreaking animated. Like, that was like one of the first movies that was like had the CGI.
Right. And I remember
the characters kind of looked real.
Right. I remember reading there was somebody, his entire job was to do every single strand of hair on every character's head.
Oh, my gosh. And they have such big hair.
Final Fantasy, did you ever play that game?
I never did. I have friends who just worship those games.
Did you play Final Fantasy?
I never played it either. But I had friends who like went when the symphony orchestra played the score.
Right.
And stuff like
Ditto.
That.
No, I have friends
what?
The same way. They waited out in lines when the game came out.
Really?
There's like 8 of them now or something. There's a lot of them. A lot of versions.
The voice talent included Alec Baldwin, Steve Buscemi, and James Woods. In Final, if I remember correctly, I believe Sutherland too. I think Donald Sutherland did a voice in it. Yeah, it was supposed to be, you know, groundbreaking, or at least that's what they said. I think it came out in 2000. I want to say, right around 19, maybe 99 or 2000, it came out. And I remember, oh, this is groundbreaking CGI animation that you've never seen before.
I mean, the video games look amazing.
Yeah,
they're gorgeous.
So that's considered a good video game movie.
Oh, okay.
Final Fantasy.
You are correct. He was Dr. Sid.
Dr. Sid?
And it came out in 2001.
2001, okay.
That's great, but not my precious Street Fighter.
No, it's not your precious Street Fighter with Captain Bison or whatever.
General.
Always a gem. Sorry, General Bison.
You should know each other.
What, was he in the KISS Army?
No, okay. You're a fellow general.
Oh, the general! Sign up with the general and save some time!
Yeah.
All right. Hey, see you tomorrow, Esmeralda.
See you tomorrow.
All right. News is next on WGN.